any human physicist, give me the name, and most of you know me, who is being, of course, the PhD, the researcher. My part of the dissertation will actually be dealing with the legacy report, which is basically the rundown of what the committee has been doing for the last 5 years, or the previous 5 years, 2004 to 2009. And the PhD will be dealing with the five-year review, which will consist of course, the functions of the committee, of one instance of the team by the committee, other entities, stakeholders, the committee, the actual committee's work. We've got the second part of the both at the undertaking study, undertaking the actual team, and of course, the usual meeting with the support team. Start with on the functions of the committee. Basically, to consider legislation, we firstly exercise oversight of the importance of the links and entities. Consider international agreements, we firstly consider the importance of budget work and annual reports. Facilitate public participation in showcases. Consider all matters, we firstly in terms of legislation, rules of parliament for the inclusion of the House, and we should work out the National Assembly as highlighted in the Constitution. Entities of the stream by the committee, we consist basically of the three main entities of the team department, which of course is the Assistant Police Service Staff, the Secretary for Protection Security, and the ICD. And of course, members have had an opportunity to listen to, during the budget proceedings, what the mandate of these entities are. Other entities or stakeholders in the committee to act with would be the unions, SACU and FOXU, CETA, the Private Security Industry Regulating Authority, the Center for Study of Violence and Reconciliation, and ISB, Open Society Foundation and Directorate for Africa. The committee's work methodology, the committee conducts oversight over the department and entity by scrutinizing the department's strategic plans, project work, annual reports, and financial statements, and reports to the National Assembly with recommendations. We receive briefings from the departments and entities on current practices for development of public service, conducting oversight visits to the head office of the department and entities, including the police stations, to ensure compliance with legislation and government policies. Attend national and international conferences to address practices of exclusion, distrust, and discrimination. Conduct study tours to learn how other countries' safety and security agencies cooperate with other governments they work and how these practices could assist South Africa. Conduct field planning work at the beginning of each year. We plan for the year ahead and identify priorities for the year in terms of oversight and legislation. Conducting workshops to identify key areas of concern before calling the department to account on the strategic plan, budget work, annual reports, and financial statements. And then utilize the police station monitoring tool during the oversight visit. Police station, this monitoring tool was developed by the portfolio committee and adopted by Parliament to be used by all members when conducting the constituency work. The results of the data collected through the use of this tool are analyzed by the parliamentary reviewers. Legislation that the committee adopted in 2004 was the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorism and Related Activities. 2005 to 2007, no legislation was adopted, and 2008 was the Second Andrews Bill and South African Police Service Amendment Bill. Oversight visits undertaken, most of those were to police stations across the country between 2004 and 2007. And in last year, 2008, the committee undertook a visit to the ICD head office to get an update on the restructuring process. And undertook an unannounced visit to Mpumalanga from Kwazulu-Natal Communication. The study tours that was undertaken was in 2004, three members from each of two committees, PC and the Lake Committee. And the study tour was focused on the coordination between the police and the justice department. And in 2006, six members went on to Australia to, and the study tour was focused on human trafficking, successes and thinking is one of the issues or an expression that has been resolving for the last few years, and hoping that it can come before the committee within the next year. The international agreement, there's two types of international agreements that we will deal with, which is the Constitution Section 2312, which requires Parliament's approval, and Section 2313, which is part of a technical administrative agreement, so which basically is the Parliament's information. And we also will start with the one international agreement. I'll hand over to Mr. Speaker, who will deal with the legacy and the public
good morning, everyone. And so for a five-year review document that is presented to the members as tools to assist particularly the new members who will be coming to Parliament perhaps for the first time and those who will be coming from other committees who are not familiar with the issues of citizen security and the department itself. So what we did at that time was somewhat rapid, which made 5 years from 1994 to the end of the death parliament. However, due to time constraints and the pressure that we had as a result of the budget goals that were taking place, we had to put this aside and prioritize the method of the budget goals. However, as that may be a challenge for us presenting now to people who have already had an engagement with the department, who have had an engagement with the department and the entities, even, I mean, including the previous parliament as well as during the budget process. But I see that as an opportunity in the sense that it gives us. It allows for engagement because people already have an idea of what we are talking about. And the issues in terms of the content that we have raised here, people will be able to see what is what and also engage with those issues as well. And for instance, the challenges in the ICB, the challenges in the citizen security, the challenge of citizen security. Members are already aware of those issues, and some of them have already been participated during the budget vote. So, I think that will make our work somewhat easier. And this is the structure of my presentation. And I'll try to touch, as I said, on the content issues that Parliament and Committee deal with, and that has been challenges in the past. And which, in my opinion, will continue to be challenges that will face the structure of the presentation will start with the by looking at the policy document and also ask the question whether we need to review some of the policy in relation to the fight against crime. The issue of the resources, physical, financial, and human resources, we'll also look at that. And then the station monitoring, station monitoring tool, which Jeremy has already touched on, which was developed by the committee, together with the research unit, which is the tool that assists members in their oversight work. The issue of the accessibility has been touched on before, and last week, I believe, Wednesday, when the Department of Court report came out, some of the issues that are raised before with regards to accessibility were also touched on during that meeting. Then the issue of the Domestic Violence Act and its implementation, then I will conclude. The theme of the presentation is winning the fight against crime. But before we begin, there are certain questions that members of parliament, including everyone, in terms of the adult content of the fight against crime, we have to keep asking throughout the presentation and, if possible, throughout the term of the parliament. In a way, reflecting and also introspecting the work of parliament and as South Africans in the fight against crime. The first question is that we want the fight against crime. The resources have been deployed, that we made available, we've been constantly against the threat of crime. But the first thing that we need to ask is that we want the fight against crime. Because we don't need to ask another that now, but also how far are we from winning the fight against crime? Because eventually, we have to come to a point where we say, we have won it, we have done this, this is the achievement. And if we haven't won the fight against crime, what's stopping the nation from taking the fight against crime? And what's the role of parliament in this picture? What's the role of parliament in fighting the fight against crime? Then, we put, government has put strategies and policies in place in this regard. However, I'll let us to engage on whether there will be a need for the review of the documents and the strategies that we have in place. We have two main strategies in the budget in time, and those are the National Transformation Strategy. Started this implementation in May 1996. And then later, in 2000, we introduced or the National Crime Combating Strategy, which sought to improve, in a way, on what the National Crime Combating Strategy has done, on as well as on its witnesses. The National Crime Prevention Strategy basically is a proactive approach in the prevention of crime. It's a comprehensive framework, and it aims at social assessment. It engages, or let me say, it involves almost all government departments, and it encourages participation from all sectors to fight the threat of crime. It's not only the Department of Social Security or the Department of Police that is tasked with the fight, or needs the task of fighting crime in the National Crime Prevention Strategy, but all sectors need to come together. Socioeconomic and social development are issues that are encouraged, in the sense that it is believed that if people are poor, in a way that will contribute to the crime. People, if when they are living in slums, they don't have infrastructure, that in a way will also contribute to the issue of crime. So, in addressing all those aspects, eventually you'll have a crime-free society. And that was the approach of the country in the strategy. It promoted the coordination of departments in the way that the government should work together. And in fact, it has been dubbed as the roadmap for social assessment. However, in 1996, when it began its implementation, its results were not seen the way they were supposed to. Crime levels began began shooting up, and it became apparent that the country was losing. And then the National Counter-Combatant Strategy was introduced. In fact, it was believed at that time it would be a short-term measure to the fight against crime. However, we still have the National Counter-Combatant Strategy today because apparently we're helping more the fight against crime. Therefore, we still need a measure that is aimed at combating forcefully the issue of crime and creating stability in the country. As clear in the presentation, that its main aim was and still is to stabilize the country by combating and controlling the spread of crime. Obviously, it draws heavily from the initial countries that have been formed. Initially, we had some of the countries that have been started. And the two strategies work in tandem. They are linked with each other, but varying in approach here and there. The National Counter-Combatant Strategy also introduced what we know as sector policy as a matter of developing capacity at local and provincial level. And now, in line with the National Counter-Combatant Strategy, we have an initiative that has been introduced known as Washapur. So, it is still implementation of the strategy. In the execution of the strategy, the department has the long-term strategy plan, which is priorities are to fight organized crime, combat serious and violent crime, as well as fight against crime. Fight crime against women and children and food basic services delivered to both communities. And this strategic plan is implemented through the performance plan of the department. The performance plan of the department, or so called strategic or business plan or strategic plan, short term strategic plan, was tabled before Parliament alongside the budget. Every year. This year we've had an opportunity to see the annual performance plan of the department, and one of the main things that was raised by members of parliament at the conference was the issue of low targets in that performance plan. Another thing was the issue of the department envisaging to have about 700 escapes. Now, those are the issues that Parliament needs to engage with and try to find a way forward in that how can a department of police aim to have about 700 escapes? Shouldn't the department aim to have zero escapes? And then, under unfortunate circumstances, then the department may have escapes. So, and really, the targets, as I've indicated, are not encouraging. And I believe that one way or the other, Parliament will have to engage with the department. The challenge that I have is that I do not know as to what Parliament can do actually in this regard to tell the department or to engage the department in regard to these challenges. And whilst doing that, not violate the so-called separation of powers, because I understand that some states, Parliament did not impose itself upon the executive department, but in holding the department accountable, such issues need to be addressed. Parliament will have to engage with it. Moving to the resources. We're looking at the financial resources, human resources, members of the department, as well as other physical resources, which include vehicles, machinery, things like that. For this year, the budget is 46 billion, and the department is human driven. human resources business. By the presentation that I made, that did highlight that 93% of the budget goes to compensation of employees and food and services. So a huge amount of the budget goes to pay employees, because obviously the department is human resource driven. But other resources, are they, including human resources, are they distributed equitably to all three stages the way they are supposed to? Because many times than not, the issue of resource allocation always comes up when we talk about the fact that it's crime, and it's always said that there are no, I mean, the resources are not enough. So this is one of the issues that Parliament is having to look at, and see if a better way of distributing resources, which will ensure the fight against crime is won, should be looked at. The resource management, there's this thing that they call in the department the RAG, resource allocation guideline. I tried to request a copy of this so that I can present it before Parliament and then actually look as to how do they distribute and allocate the resources, because they say this is their backbone in terms of distributing the resources. But they told me that I did not have it simply because I will not understand or comprehend this reasoning. But I think it will assist Parliament to see, to get the reasoning behind the distribution of resources, human, physical, and financial resources. Because we can't, or Parliament cannot keep talking about resource distribution. Yet, there's a guideline which is not being presented before Parliament so that the two can understand each other. And another problem that we've always had in terms of resources, the motor vehicle allocation, the last bullet, motor vehicle allocation. There's an interesting question that was raised during the COPA meeting on the department that appeared last week. The question was that how many vehicles does the department have? And how many of those are located to the airport, and how many are actually operational in the police station in this particular time, as well as how many are there doing admin work in the offices? And the department was not able to answer that question. And I think it's critical to this, because you need vehicles in the particular time. And for the department not to know how many operational crime prevention vehicles are there and how many do they need is also problematic. I think at some point the department needs to know that we have so many cars and then shortfall, we need so many by this time. Because apparently at this moment we are not aware of how many vehicles they really need. And how many vehicles should they have, you know, that, I mean, there's an increase upon what they already have. Now, the issue of resources and other matters, when members of Parliament go to the station or the committee goes on oversight, these two station managers will be important and is important. It's one of the instruments that can be used to gauge the allocation of resources and other issues such as cleanliness. You know, it's a comprehensive tool, and I think perhaps at one stage we'll have to have some sort of a workshop with members where we can work each other on how to utilize it to run government oversight. Because, in my opinion, there are members who have used it before, but it is rather underutilized. Whereas it's quite a powerful tool. So basically the tool facilitates effective oversight at police station level, it ensures collaboration of oversight functions, it provides independent data in the sense that one member of parliament can go to the extreme to the station and get his own or her own understanding of what is happening in terms of the information that he or she will solicit. The second member will also go there and get somewhat different things, but then the issue is information will have come out as a result of the use and the proper implementation of it. And as I say here, it allows comparison between two stations and other provinces, or other provinces. We can use it in the Eastern Cape, and then of course we can use it in another province, and then compare the findings and see which one is well resourced, which police station, which province is not well resourced, all those things. So I think it's an important tool, and we'll have to have just a 30-minute session perhaps, and go through it and, you know, have the driver at one of the stations around to come and see if it works. Now, coming to the issue of the policy. We will touch on this previously, and it keeps coming up. One of the reasons why the policy keeps coming up, even in this COPPA meeting that took place last week, it was the main issue that was talked about. The reason is that when it was introduced, that the policing was said to be our main crime fighting strategy, and its implementation is hypocritical. However, today we still don't have such a policing fully implemented. And there's a range of questions about the department or if perhaps the government intention and willingness in fighting against crime. And we need to engage on this. And I think I'm going to basically, the policing level division of social policing area into small and municipal areas, the line is also supporting the policing. It encourages community participation in the fight against crime. In the sense that members of community in that particular sector are encouraged to form themselves into or form the community policing forum. And that sector is headed by a sector commander who is a member of the SAPS. Clearly, SAPS in this regard plays a pivotal role in giving leadership to communities as the custodian of the strategy of the social policy. Now, if you want social policy to be implemented, the department has to be there. To play this leading role. But apparently, so far, it is not happening. It's not basically the issue of apathy on the part of the department. There are other issues, such as the issue of allocation of resources, as well as the communication, which impedes the implementation of the strategy. But also those issues need to be looked at, and I believe that the distribution of resources aimed at the implementation of the proposition is one important issue. And every police station needs to have a community policing forum, and this is in line. As we have said, each policing area will be divided into small municipal areas or sectors. Those sectors will have special policing forums. Individuals from those sectors will come and form a community policing forum for the entire policing station. As I said, the implementation began in 2002. Its main focus has been on the 169 high-contact crime stations, which was the entire and the power station. and the picture that we get with the person in the rendition is not on the entire 1,116 citations. It's only 169 icons of transmission, which so far they have implemented about 76% of the population in these citations. Here I raised issues that were also raised in the COPA meeting, issues of SAP's leadership, with regard to the immigration strategy, the remote allocation, that central policing requires for the bosses, in terms of vehicles and manpower. Each sector must have its own, each policing area has five sectors. Each sector must have its own vehicle and own and members deployed in those sectors. Now you find that a station area that has five sectors, there are only two vehicles, and other sectors do not have vehicles. So if there's a complaint in sector one, the vehicle has to move from sector five and leave sector five vacant to that and perform functions in sector one. So a fully functional sector policing strategy will be where we find all sectors in the area having resources distributed effectively, independent that if there are five areas, for instance, I mean, if there are five sectors, each sector will have its own vehicle and members distributed or allocated to that particular sector during that particular moment. Another major challenge with regard to sector policing is that there's no policy so far from the department to how the strategy is implemented. They revealed this last week as well during the COPA meeting that since 2002 there hasn't been a policy to implement what we initially believed to be the major crime fighting strategy. And what we call the sector policing checklist. I'm not sure how the sector policing checklist looks like, but I have requested the department to forward it to us so that we can have a look at it, and if there's anything that the department, I mean the parliament, can do in terms of ensuring that sector policing is implemented optimally by using that checklist, it will have to be done. Moving towards the end, the issue of domestic violence. Generally, the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act is not satisfactory. Members raised this during the budget debate. The ICB assessed this before Parliament. It's a nonsense. One of the things on the side of the, on the part of the ICB, that may be able to get itself to perform this function. But also, from the SSPR side, the implementation is not satisfactory. Perhaps as a result of challenges in the training system, or having the challenges inherent within the ICB, it impedes its implementation, and I think Parliament will have to look at that and see if there are things that can be done to amend the law to make it more user-friendly and easily implementable. And I think that's one of the challenges that Parliament will have to support. Because perhaps you'll find that you can strengthen the ICB, train all members of the SSPS, but you find that the problems are embedded within the law itself. I'm not sure I haven't agreed to it, but I think it's an exercise that we have to do as a as I say in my last year, that the review of the domestic violence is one necessary measure that what I am going to agree upon. And these are the concluding remarks. Just to summarize and round up everything. There's in a talk of introducing the specialized units that were built. I am not sure if their introduction would mean poisoning in those departments and units as well. But one of the things that Parliament has to look at again is the constant restructuring of the department, because it has negative effects, one on the morale, remember. It destabilizes the entire organization. And when the department engages in people with in the restructuring exercise, it is usually thought through carefully so that we do not destabilize our fighters and friends. Because there were a lot of grievances and people showed apathy towards the 2006 restructuring program, which closed down the offices and whether the specialized units. Perhaps some of those specialized units do not have to be. And if some of them are willing to do more stringent measures in terms of bringing in members for capacitating those who are determined to be considered. For instance, we need the CPU child protection unit. As much as we will need a med and robbery unit, med and robbery members were known to be highly corrupt. And even important, if we really refuse to med and robbery unit, to make sure that people who get there at least are better, are people of integrity, who will not succumb easily to pressure and corruption. Training. This is just my guess that I don't have the feeling that training in the department is linked directly to outcome or has the vision of improving the system. The department conducts a huge amount of training. Exercises. You find today, here and there, there are these courses, but how do those actually impact on the delivery? That link is not in the yet. And in my final remark, I think it's important for the department to introduce a rigorous monitoring and evaluation system. Currently, they do have evaluation services, but those are centralized at the head office, and then they have few members in the committee offices. But I don't think it is robust as it should be, and if perhaps monitoring and evaluation could be introduced in a very strong way, it might have and all the challenges that we have highlighted, ranging from first policy, the implementation of domestic violence, the resource allocation could be addressed if there is a rigorous monitoring evaluation system in the department. Then finally, again, we need to ask if we have won the fight at this time. How far are we from winning the fight? We're not stopping the nation from taking the step. Not the whole and I think these are the questions that we need to constantly ask ourselves of one of the parliament is one number one said So as content for that point all of us who are giving we need to be in this crime. We need to keep asking these questions and they should guide us. And the presentation, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much for participating.
training is set, or is it a difficulty inherent in actual law? I mean, where would you, I don't understand where you got the latter from. I mean, I understand you saying, okay, is this a training, and I don't think anyone's ever pinpointed why it is sex members turn away, beaten up women, or don't fill out the domestic violence register. But I'm not sure where you thought perhaps the problem lay with the act. So I want a bit of clarity there. And perhaps just a request about the specialized unit. As you're the research head, could we have maybe a list of the full list and when they were shut down? Which is, I mean, I know, for example, the narcotics bureau, that seems to be a great loss, but then in my ignorance, it may also have been shoved full of corrupt people. I don't know the reasons for the. I have my own theory, but I'd quite like to know when it was shut down. And then lastly, that monitoring and evaluation sentence bullet point of yours. Are you looking at monitoring and evaluation for individuals, for stations, for outcomes, by the station? I wasn't sure what you actually meant by that.
Understanding as to, in terms of the committee's oversight work, what was the actual thinking in terms of relevance to the station, obviously a lot of units in a lot of areas that which didn't do it. And I just wanted to have a discussion.
Thank you. this committee going to do about this year, this parliament committee. Because if there are other forces or senior members that are involved in those members, are we going to say the root leader is that one? Do they come to the root of the problem? Or is there anything else that this committee can also do to try and help bring out the social corruption? The fight against crime and police, because the success in fighting crime is going to depend mainly on the integrity of the public. Members of the public can help, but they cannot replace them. So if members of the public cannot trust or unsure of the integrity of the very people that are supposed to help, will we ultimately win the fight for crime? That's the question that I have. And so the other question, what is the role of public? And that's what I'm asking. Are we going to say police investigate yourself? Or is there any threat that we can do to ensure that there's nothing, that no stone that is unturned? And secondly, the crime prevention strategy and crime combating strategy are mainly aimed at not facing external causes of crime. By that I mean these strategies do not look at the police problem, but they're looking at people committing crime out there. But is there anything that can be implemented to ensure that even we see the members of the that something is done to prevent corruption from taking place? Because we all concerned about the cost in hearing all this, and also the delay that seems to characterize any investigation that the police have to do in investigating their own. And lastly, the legislature requested guidelines, a copy of the guidelines for this in the and if I had inequality, you are told that you will not understand. Now, obviously, this is surprising to me. If he is requested of, on behalf of the committee, because I'm sure it was not for me personally, but it was on behalf of the committee, on what basis that the department of the government, he has requested one on guidelines for this to be resolved, and also the sector policy checklist. I'm not sure what is the reason for not getting that one, or they promise you you're going to get one, or one. I'm not sure. But now, what should this committee do when the researchers request for you on our behalf and then you get the information? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've got one, the echo channel.
fear to commit corruption, corruption activities. The last one is the usual thing that we hear as public citizens is that the police took too long to respond. The police took too long to respond to the call. Is it possible that the police are already used to receiving these calls such that these calls are cumbersome? And then, you know, it's responding to the call as a matter of as required. But that urgency element dies away. You know, if you do something every day, you do something every day, you get to a point where you no longer urgency part. If there's no way of taking care of it, it may die away. Thanks.
Special, specialized unit. It was, I remember, it was debate as it debated, they were so excited that they hoped to see where this thing. And I'm not mentioning this, but there have been a lot of discussions. Most of them, some of them, they create a lot of uncertainty amongst them. Do the police have some proper research before they just get excited? Because most of the changes they do, 5 years down the line, they go back to what is done. Do they have the proper research where they base their changes? Or what? Because in the Firearms Control Act, some of the changes you can make later, which they were excited to, became original and we didn't see. What informs their research and they just, and do they take into consideration the impact which it will have on the member? Because every constant change will make the member not sure what you make changes to improve, but there must be a stage of stability where you say now, when you're making the changes we have. And I'm saying that some of the issues I've raised, I would not expect them to be answered by the researcher and the secretary, but I think those are the issues I believe we must take up with the members of staff.
Parliament itself, the research units in Parliament, actually didn't even study
much meta.
Well, I guess because we are dealing with the community for meta, no? So it's rather more, you know, somehow.
I hope not.
Hopefully not. Is there any
other?
Are you
going to have
with regards to the question that to me was on the promises that were visited, in particular police station, then also the training colleges, and the impact of recommendations made by the committee. Firstly, we need to make it clear that one of the issues that is the only problem when it comes to trying to, you know, draw the program of the committee, we have a parliament, is that we actually bound by the program of parliament. And whenever we stand in the program of parliament, of course, the committee program has to follow suit. And that has impacted quite a bit on you know, how the committee actually went about doing their work. Having said that, I think with regards to the initiatives and the promises that we have, important to note is the fact that the committee actually had the assessment workshop at the beginning of this year. And they, besides identifying broad themes, which consist of three themes really, that the committee identified and concentrated on, the oversight groups was then also concentrated on those as well. And then of course trying to marry the portfolio and the program with that of parliament, like I said, was always a challenge. So the visits wasn't an issue of, you know, deliberately not, you know, excluding some provinces or visiting other provinces. It was just, you know, the limiting factor as far as the program of the community is concerned. In the training colleges, while with regard to that, there was a problem that was actually identified with regard to training. And I think it was last year when during my second was, which was actually identified that the training colleagues in Victoria would be visited. The committee would have loved to have visited other training colleagues as well, but once again, probably didn't allow. Then, as far as the recommendations are concerned, by far we're trying to follow up on the recommendations. But on one recommendation in particular, that I know of, during our visit to Clark Police Station, it was found that there was major irregularities as far as the running of the station was concerned. The committee made a recommendation to the staff management that the station commissioners should be replaced, and that was done immediately. And as far as other recommendations concerned, some, I'll be honest, some of the recommendations have been followed up by staff, others not.
Yeah. Okay, so some of the questions will be my team, my side. Where I think I can respond, I will try to do so. Firstly, the issue of monitoring and evaluation. Honorable Member said, I think it's in the last slide. Elaboration on this.
Yeah, I just didn't know what you were looking at monitoring. Individuals or whole stations or what? Monitoring
in the sense that the entire department from national, provincial, and station level. And in my opinion, that such monitoring should be something that is competent and, to use the word, proper, in the sense that offer less than the information that is needed to be collected, and you have a procedure of doing it. You don't just willy-nilly collect whatever that you collect, not having foresight as to how you're going to utilize that. So that eventually, the information that has been monitored, but the process of monitoring is the gathering, is the information gathering process. Then there comes a time where you have to evaluate what you have monitored. The information that you gathered during the monitoring will tell you whether you're achieving what you need to achieve or not. So if we can have that as a system that will penetrate the entire department to the station level, that will gather every aspect of the relevant information, you know, in terms of resources and resource allocation and everything else, even that the reporting time of members on duty, if that needs to be the case. So a system that will collect all what we owe, that will be regarded as relevant information, so that quarterly it can be evaluated, as well as yearly or annually. Then we can see the progress. But now, seeing that I have a feeling that such system is not proper, then I think it should be. The ICD and the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. It's not raised as a matter of fact in that perhaps if it's an agency department comes here and says these are the issues that we find problematic with the act or the implementation of the act. And it is my opinion that perhaps if there are issues or if there is a problem with the implementation of the act, perhaps the act needs to be reviewed. At this stage, I'm not saying it should be, but the process towards looking at that. If we continuously have the ICD and Department coming to Parliament presenting on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, and we find that the implementation is not satisfactory, a holistic approach towards looking at this problem needs to be developed. The implementation side of the act, I think, we have to look at. But this will depend on what. On what the department says are the challenges with regards to them implementing. And then the crime trend, 394 up to now. I think that's one. How it has been since before up until now. So that we can safely say there was an upsurge in crime incidences which led to crime prevention strategy being abandoned and then the shift towards the international crime combat strategy. I think the core integration of the group and the whole parliament in this matter and strategies being outward looking instead of being on the ground. I don't think it's a matter that I can respond to, but perhaps, yeah, parliament needs to ask this question, particularly the its role when a researcher requests. Make a request for information. But in the email that I sent, I requested Commissioner Sander to provide me with the interview spoke here when you were given the budget debate, on the budget presentation. Then she said I should remind her, and I did by means of her email. During the school committee, she said, I received the email, but you can't understand it. she will try to forward me the policing checklist. I'm still waiting. But the important question as well as what the role would parliament do when on behalf of the state and the information that was provided. In this regard, I didn't think it would put the department in jeopardy to have this kind of information. I mean, in regard to some social security, but then, moving on. Do crime fighting strategies have a link with other law enforcement agencies around that area? I think there is an interaction in the between SADC and the APS, and it always comes up in the annual report. But as to how effective that is, the department itself is in the setup of the the strategy is to make senior members feel recognized and appreciated. Without lies, I think I'll have to look at the guidelines for the senior members and come back to the committee on this. Because there are rules and so this shows that perhaps this, not in the total recognition of the environment, you must not if there are something for as well. And another thing that I feel is important about the CPS is the clarification of the arrow and members of assisting in the fight. You find this in certain instances that CPS members want to take up policing matters into their own hands. You sometimes end up with the assistant, find the effect on it sometimes, which is not meant to be. So I think the rules need to be clarified. This is what they meant to do, and this is what they should not do. That the alternative measures for punishing a CPS member also, I think, the department will have to answer to how stringent and rigorous that they are, the disciplinary action, as well as the sentencing part of the disciplinary action. And what effect they have in Kevin or the repetition of and what impact those sentences play in deterring other members from committing similar offenses within the department. I think it's one of the research projects that the department will have to investigate and assume for itself if what they do does have a spillover effect to other members as well. What do I mean by the winning the fight against crime? I think this is the fight you can win. That's what that's because there are communities, there are nations where you see a people go unlocked. In Japan, the country is kind of free. What is stopping us from that? That's our
officer. Japan?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
repeat after the policy. No, I haven't read that. It's an interesting question, which also came up last week. And the honorable member raised pertinent questions to how initially was this to begin to learn their details on policy. How much was the department planning to spend on this? How much was it? All those things, there had to be a cut line, but unfortunately they wasn't. But they promised that by September they will be one. So hopefully now we will be consolidating our fight against crisis towards a crisis of the was there a research done whether there should be specialized units or not? I will have to come back on this one because I'm not sure if there are any research done and if there were what scientists came out of press. There was nothing on the internet. But yeah, I'll have to come back. And the results emanating from all the data gathered from the state units and to have the research or the questionnaire, which is the research tool, I think the generalizability of the findings depends on the research method applied, because you can't come to a point where you generalize, whereas your method does not allow you to. So I think sampling, for instance, would have to be a major factor, and the method of sampling that we use, if it allows the generalizability in terms of probability sampling and also probability sampling, and that if we take a snapshot of five police stations in the Western Cape, do we really expect that snapshot of five stations to represent the entire province? And also, where those police stations are located would also be, as the honorable member raised the area that in certain communities, crime is not as, or was not as prevalent as in other communities. So, all those matters we have to looked into. But I think at this moment, when an individual member takes two to a particular patient, scientifically, I would not say that those findings can be generalized, scientifically. But they may give a picture of the epidemic in terms of science that they want. Honorable member, please. Show me where I've missed something. I tried to get that to you.
If I could just put something in from my experiences on the committee previously, two questions that haven't been addressed. There was one about the difference between an announcement and unannounced, and what did we do? Well, we did try the announcement, and I have to tell you, they were bouquets of flowers, there was literally a red carpet and catered food, and they repainted the whole building. So it was a total waste of money. We soon learned
that was just useless. So really the most effective utilization of that tool is to simply go during a constituency period, and it's not only members of this committee, all MPs, to their local police station with the tool, and they actually sit to the station head and they go through it, and actually they fill out a good portion of it, and then one tourist itself, etc. And that is when you find the children in the cells and the difficulties, but you will never find it if you announce and they come with the blue light things and they rush you from the airport to Hollywood. So that was that one answer. And the station monitoring tool, certainly there were a couple of dozen. I don't know, I certainly did about 30. And they compiled a very interesting document on a computer, which I'm sure Jeremy can tell us more about. But they actually looked at stations that were in rural areas, and they compared. But across TAPS were the shortages that we highlighted, the bulletproof vests, the equipment, the torches. All the shortages of the top structure had already come into business, and they continue to do. People were free right across the country. It was not, certainly in certain areas there were police stations that had not had water in 2 years. But, and that was a specific incident in a specific rural area. But the cross-cutting issues were very clear to see, and I think Jeremy can tell you.
I know at some stage the committee was challenged by the RC person at the time, and this is the previous RC person, on unannounced business and questions, particularly the issue of imposing one tier of government on another tier of government. However, the committee managed to explain to the RC person that, of course, whenever we do visit or we undertake announced visits, that the red carpet is being rolled out. And it was during the unannounced visits that we actually found what the committee was more interested in. So certainly there's no policy in place that prevents the committee from undertaking unannounced visits. And I'm sure if the issue comes up again, that we, the committee would be probably able to challenge that. As far as the monitoring tool is concerned, we can debate about whether the data can be generalized and the results, etc. However, during the peace planning workshop, there was a particular slot that was dedicated for the researchers to actually share with the committee the data in some cases, in most cases, the raw data has been disseminated at BCC and shared with members. And normally this information is being used during the annual report hearings and also the bonus report hearings to challenge staff management on issues related to resources and others as well whenever they appear before the committee. And in most cases, I'm sure other members would bear me out on this one, the committee successfully managed to challenge them on issues and also challenge them to actually rectify irregularities that were found between what data we found during collecting using the monitoring tool and what we actually see during the article hearing and annual report hearing.
Yeah.
Then I ask a question to George Baran. Members can have unannounced meetings, but hopefully you must be careful to do that too. You don't mind the situation where if you want official information, you want it to have an announcement. Because if you don't have an announcement, then you can't complain when you arrive at the area, the managers are not there, everybody. So this can be balanced. And to do our work properly, even on announced business, you can still get more information. I understand it will be covered, but you still get, if you ask questions, especially to ordinary members of the NDPS, they are not likely to especially if you go from one politician to other. so that when you come from that area, you like somebody said, they went to the police station, they tell that the police commissioner was wrong, and then they recommended that he be changed. But you can imagine, if the management did not know about that, how would you have affected that? So they must be